Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
The pride, passion, and pageantry of college football lives here. This is the Paul Feinbaum Show, Hour One Podcast.
And you are looking live in Las Vegas, which can be a sleepy city in the morning, but in a couple of hours, there may be close to a half a million people watching the NFL draft, and they are going to see a lot of Georgia, especially in the first round. We say hello to you. We're live out here for 2 days to help you better become acquainted with the draft. A number of great coaches will be joining us, and we'll start with that man to my left, who may be on your right if you're watching on television, is the one that helped put a lot of these Georgia players into the draft, Coach Dan Lanning, who was the defensive coordinator as of Georgia's last game, but he's wearing green now as the head coach of the Oregon Ducks. And I think he's got a big problem out in Vegas. I think he'll still be carded at most casinos because I only think he's 16 years old. He's actually 36, I believe.
That might be a good problem,
man,
right?
Man, I've never seen a younger head coach. We'll talk to Coach in a minute, but let's get you rolling here with some of the stories of the NFL draft. And as I mentioned, it's all about the top. Certainly Trayvon Walker looks like he is going to be the first player taken, and that is certainly a big deal here. Out here, there'll be a number of other Georgia players taken. There'll be some Alabama players early in the first round, certainly at the offensive line position. But for the most part, the Dogs are going to be quite early and often here, and that's something we definitely want to talk to Coach about in addition to what he is going to be doing here in a few months. And guess what? Coach's first game back in Georgia against the Dogs. We have a number of coaches with us, including Luke Fickell here in a few minutes, the Notre Dame head coach. We'll include your phone calls as well. But Coach, first of all, thanks so much for being here. I know your mind is now on the Ducks, but tonight, even though there are a couple of Oregon players whose name will be called, you've got to be thinking about the unit that helped Georgia win a national championship.
Yeah, I'm so excited for all those guys that I've coached. You know, I wouldn't be sitting here with this opportunity if it wasn't for them, you know, and certainly excited about the Ducks as well. You know, Kayvon, when he's drafted tonight, that'll be 8 first-round draft picks for the Ducks in the last 9 years, so pretty cool.
I just got through talking to a couple of draft experts here, and we'll talk to them throughout the afternoon, but all have settled on Trayvon, and he was really nowhere to be found when these quote-unquote mock drafts started. I'm asking the right person here because you know about his talent or knew about it before the rest of us, but take us through his matriculation as a young player into what we're about to see tonight.
Yeah, he's special, and I think you know, Trayvon has the right mindset. I told, you know, some people that have brought his name up to me recently, if you go watch the guy practice, you'd absolutely understand why everyone's talking about Trayvon. And you know, he's a high school basketball player. He's got a great family. He's an elite human being, but he works really hard. So I think people are seeing what he is now, but they're also seeing what his ceiling will be. You know, he's not even close to touching what he's going to be in the future.
I mean, these coaches are all calling you and Kirby Smart and others, and it was interesting how the combine, the bell went off, the light went off, and all of a sudden the experts who've been watching him all year suddenly fell in love. What were you thinking when all these guys suddenly raced him up the mock drafts?
We knew he had football players. You know, we knew he had good players, and it's funny. I think preseason we maybe had one guy that was named the all conference list before the season started. So it kind of shows you what everyone knows, right? We had great players and talent, but they never made that their focus. They made playing well their focus. So to see them get the rewards and reap the rewards now, I'm so excited for them.
Let's talk a little bit about your journey, because you grew up in near Kansas City, and I joked about your age.
but I'm serious. You better be careful tonight if you go into a casino. It has to be just bewildering to go through your career, and I know your family is there to support you, and it's essential. But you've had a number of different jobs, including a brief stint with Nick Saban. But in your wildest dreams, did you ever think you would be where you are at this point in your career?
No, it's certainly surreal. You know, I've always had an admiration for coaches, and I've always believed in hard work. You know, my family are hard workers, but I've been in the right place at the right time around some really good people, and it's led to great opportunities with a wife that's supporting and three wonderful kids that have enjoyed the journey. So it's been a blast.
In terms of what you've learned, obviously at Alabama, I mentioned Nick Saban. Kirby Smart was also in there, for those who don't do history very well. But, you know, from those coaches, as well as Mike Norvell and others, what have you learned, and how do you put all that into play when suddenly this program in Oregon is yours?
Yeah, I've learned so many unique things from each one of them. You know, I joked around before with a friend, you know, the sun's going to come up tomorrow, and at 7:30 tomorrow there will be a staff meeting in Tuscaloosa. You know, one thing that I think made Nick so special, and Kirby as well, is consistency. You know, consistency in his approach and the way he does everything every day. And that's one thing I've certainly taken away from him and both Coach Smart. You know, Coach Smart, on the other end, has been, you know, very innovative in his approach and adjusted the way, you know, he works and adapt to, you know, to college offenses, to just recruiting. He's been on the front end of that. So I've been fortunate to be around enough of those people. But I think the one thing that I know is that you have to be you. And if you're you, it'll work. You know, I've been around good people, players, and being yourself, I think, is really important.
There was a time early in Kirby Smart's career where I think he tired of the you know, playing, not playing, but coaching for Nick Saban. Having worked for both, is there an easy or is it a complex comparison?
Yeah, certainly a complex comparison, but they're both obviously wonderful coaches. You know, it is, you feel the stress of being in that environment each day because you just want to perform really well for the team. You want to hold the rope and do a great job. And I think they both do a great job of creating a sense of urgency, and obviously their records speak for themselves.
In being a defensive coach, you know, everyone always wonders what's it like when the head coach has been in that position. Describe being the defensive coordinator under one of the best we've ever seen, Kirby Smart.
Yeah, it's super rewarding. You know, when I first went to Alabama, I told, you know, my family I'm going to get my doctorate in coaching. And that's kind of what I felt like. And when I went to the University of Georgia, there couldn't have been a better person to prepare me to be a defensive coordinator than Kirby Smart. I watched him every day, learned from him, and extremely innovative, but he lets his coaches coach. And it's a special environment to learn, you know, how to coach the game of football.
Talking to Dan Lanning, and what a treat it is to start the show off with the focus of the sports world on that Georgia defense tonight. Coach, let's talk about this past season, and then we'll move ahead to Oregon. But, you know, so much expectations, but naturally Alabama began the season number one, and then the Dogs beat Clemson, and people started going, you know what, this defense does look like what we thought. What was that journey like with these guys that all came back? Some of them could have been taken last year very early, and then the season is moving along, and then you hit a bump at the end.
Yeah, I think the off season was so important for us this past year. And, you know, Georgia's always had great football players, and you know they had great football players this year. They've had great football players in the past, but I think what was really unique was our brotherhood this past season. You know, we all had each other's back. Even when we hit a bump in the road, and everyone responded, no one flinched, and that was really unique. You know, I've been around great teams, but that was a unique trait for this group.
And we get to Atlanta, and everyone's counting on the Dogs to win, and then we see really an inexplicable performance. But what was so interesting is you and Kirby, at least externally, put on a really good face. But what was that game like to watch for you as you're calling it and trying to to figure out what in the world happened to the most elite defense I've ever coached.
Yeah, it's certainly a humbling experience, and you never want to say that you're okay. You think a loss created something for you, but it was certainly an opportunity for us to come together. And I think, at least in our program last year, adversity was, just on the other side of adversity is the greatest reward. And we got to experience that firsthand. It was tough. We had to go back and do, some real self-evaluation, but also recognize we had a pretty elite defense and an elite team all year. It's not broken. Let's just go back to the doctor and fix some of those elements.
And now you get this head coaching job. You told me something as we were walking in. You assume when somebody gets a head coaching job, that person knows all about the University of Oregon and the state, but not exactly the way it went down for you.
Yeah, certainly knew about Oregon. When I was at Arizona State, I was a graduate assistant, and Marcus Mariota had a heyday in the desert, though. So I never got to actually be in Oregon. This was my first time, getting to go experience it firsthand, and it's been amazing.
What was it like balancing that? Because you've got the dream of your lifetime. You're on the move. Everybody's excited. But you still got the biggest game of your career ahead of you. Is that as difficult as it looks from afar?
With the right amount of Red Bull and coffee, you can do anything. No, it was it was a blast. My biggest thing finishing off, I wouldn't have this job if it wasn't for the players at Georgia. So there was never a thought in my mind of leaving, and I'm grateful for the administration at Oregon to let me do that. But that being said, when we won the game, I had a sense of relief more for the players because I cared so much that they experienced that success. It was hard. It was a lot of long nights, a lot of late Zooms, but actually the 3-hour difference was a big benefit in this situation. I was able to work on Georgia in the morning and then work on Oregon late into the night, early morning. So
most coaches get some directional school to open up with, not to be disrespectful, but it's an automatic win. You can invite all your family and friends from high school and say, come be my guest on the sidelines. Your first game, for those of you who have not looked at a Oregon schedule, but I bet you Georgia fans know what I'm about to say. You're taking on Georgia. I mean, that's just criminal, isn't it? I mean, how did that happen?
What an opportunity, right? What an opportunity. You get an opportunity to test yourself early against obviously one of the best teams in the nation. So obviously I have a lot of respect for that program and what they've built over the last few years. But I think it's a great test for our players to go in there and see what we're made of.
Listen, brothers have faced brothers, fathers have faced sons. But to put it mildly, not only do you have great respect for Kirby Smart, you guys are good friends. I mean, you said he texted you a couple of minutes ago. And I realize we're a couple of months off, but how are you going to manage leading up to that game? Because you're so used to being with him, and now he's going to be on the other sideline.
I promise you this. I promise Kirby wants to whoop my tail, and I promise you I want to whoop his. So we're both competitors, and we're both going to do the best we can to prepare our teams as we get closer to that game.
Finally, let's end with tonight, because you're going to be there, and there are a lot of great moments in anyone's life and career, but I would think for both you and Kirby's out here as well, probably a little more anxious than you are, because Kirby does not look like a guy that likes sitting around all day waiting for anything. No. What do you think, if you could think about this moment a couple of hours ahead of us here, when you hear not one, but all of your players named, take us through what you think that's going to be like to experience.
I imagine my heart will start to pump a little bit faster. I'm just so thrilled. You love these guys. Like, it's just a genuine passion and compassion for our players, and to see them be successful is the only thing you ever want as a coach. So I'm glad, this is one night, but there was a lot of hard work put into this one night for these guys. So I'm so glad to see them, see it and then see it through.
What an opportunity and what a thrill it's been for us to get a chance to meet Coach Lanning a little bit deeper. And Coach, I know you're going to be a long way off, but don't be a stranger. I know we'll perhaps even see you in a couple of months in Atlanta. Thanks so much for being here.
Thank you, Paul. Appreciate you.
What a pleasure. Dan Lanning joining us here as we begin the program live in Vegas. We'll tell you all about the rest of the guests when we come back.
The Paul Feinbaum Show is brought to you by T-Mobile. More 5G bars in more places.
Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-hour energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5HOURENERGY.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HOURENERGY.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
As we welcome you back to Las Vegas, and I tell you what, I'll try not to sound like a schoolgirl talking about someone, but I don't know. I've been around Dan Lanning in big settings. I've never really spent much time with him one-on-one, but I don't know when I've been more impressed with a guy. I mean, this guy is just truly remarkable to meet. And my sense is that if he has even a modicum of success in Oregon, he is going to be in play everywhere. The last couple of Oregon coaches have not stayed there very long. Let's get to the calls and talk to Jim, who is first up. Hello, Jim. Go right ahead.
Hey, Paul. I appreciate you having Coach Lanning on there. That was absolutely awesome. When you talked to him about trying to get settled in at Oregon and still having the biggest coaching job of his career at that point, a lot of people don't know that when Cristobal left Oregon, Oregon at that point was a top six, top five recruiting class. And when Cristobal left, that class fell to number 35, 36 or so, because we had about 15 or 16 decommits, and that class fell apart. I just wanted people to know how hard, while he's preparing for Georgia, and while he's still trying to get his feet going there in Oregon, he has moved that class, the 2022 class, Oregon, up to number 13. That's some hard work.
And he's going to be a busy man tonight. It didn't hurt to get Bo Nix either, who's, you know, nobody has more experience as a starting quarterback in college football than he does. Danny is up next. Hey, Danny, go right ahead.
Hey, Paul. My question for you again is about Coach Lanning, and as a UGA alumnus, we thank him for everything that he did for UGA and wish him well. But my question is for you: are West Coast teams just softer than SEC teams? And if so, can Coach Lanning succeed?
Well, I think that's an interpretive comment, and you know, we have the Oregon Auburn game a couple of years ago, and I'm trying to remember some other Oregon. But as soon as I say that, Oregon went into Columbus last year and beat Ohio State, and there was no question who the better team was, and Oregon dominated that game on both sides of the line. So I would hasten to say that the most recent version was soft. I was concerned about the way that Oregon team collapsed in those two Utah games. So that was really disturbing. Hey, thank you very, very much. Daryl is up next. Hey, Daryl.
Nice interview with Dan Lanning. Can you hear me?
I can. I sure can.
Okay. Hey. Nobody they talk about Nick Saban and his turnover on the coaching staff, and nobody really has talked much about it regarding Kirby Smart. I mean, when he came to Georgia,
Daryl, I've told you before, you're still there. Okay, well, we lost you for a second. Are you back? Okay, Daryl, thanks. I've warned Daryl, quit using the phone that you get in the Cracker Jack box, but he just will not listen to me. let's see here. How about John in Louisville? Hey, John.
Hey, I've got a real phone, and I'm not in the bathroom either, so you should be able to hear me.
You sound great.
Hey, a great interview with Dan Lanning. Really nice start to the show. Good studio set, too, by the way. But I was worried you were going to have Mike Griffith open the show.
I swear I think I saw Mike face planted in the pond right outside of the Bellagio, but I wasn't sure.
Well, just an observation on the NFL draft. It just seems, given their game, they're going to be focused tonight on edge rushers, offensive tackles, wide receivers, cornerbacks, and when there is a good quarterback, they'll grab him. But I think it's fascinating, the first pick, because obviously Walker has the highest ceiling. Hutchinson, on the other hand, has the production, and then I think Thibodeau is a blend of the three. But if I were the taking the first pick down there in Jacksonville, I would go after Neal, an offensive tackle, to protect the quarterback. And I think the other fascinating part of tonight, Paul, is those with injuries like Jameson Williams, torn ACL, David Ojabo, who was, where is he, with Michigan? He was expected to go in the top 10. He had double-digit sacks. He tore his Achilles in pro day. I want to see how the NFL team reacts to those. Are they looking long-term and so on and so forth? What are your thoughts?
I think that those are all great questions. Mel Kiper joins us a little bit later. We'll pose it to him. We have a number of other coaches, including Luke Fickell, the Notre Dame coach, Marcus Freeman, the head coach at BC. We have a really, really amazing show as we continue live in Las Vegas. We're coming right back.
Is your schedule too packed to see a doctor about your erectile dysfunction? Well, with Hims, now you can get treated for ED without stepping foot outside your door. They're changing men's healthcare by providing access to affordable sexual health treatments from the comfort of your couch. Hims provides access to doctor-trusted ED treatment options such as chewable hard mints, brand name treatments like Viagra, or generic alternatives for up to 95% cheaper. The process is simple and entirely online. Just answer a series of questions and a medical provider will determine the right treatment option. If prescribed, your medication ships to you free. No insurance needed. So what are you waiting for? Join the hundreds of thousands of trusted Hims subscribers and get treated. Start your free online visit today at hims.com/paul. That's hims.com/paul for your personalized ED treatment options. hims.com/paul. Hard mints are chewable compounded products which are not approved by or verified for safety or effectiveness by the FDA. Prescriptions require an online consultation with a healthcare provider who will determine if appropriate. Restrictions apply. See website for details and important safety information. Subscription required. Price varies on product and subscription plan.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
So, just 4 hours from now, that place will have about 500,000 people. It will be a sports version of Woodstock. We welcome you back. Great to have all of you here. The draft coming up in mere hours. We began with Dan Lanning. We're joined now by Jesse Palmer, who, of course, is part of the coverage of the draft tonight. And Jesse, the hours are ticking away, a little more than 4.5 hours to go. And the draft experts have already chimed in, of course, with what they think. But as more and more land on Trayvon Walker, it just makes us all wonder even more about this Georgia team, especially how they ever lost a game. They only lost one, and it was against Alabama. Good afternoon, and your thoughts as we get ready for the draft.
Yeah, thanks, Paul. First off, just the intrigue, I think, surrounding this draft, especially in the first round, I think is so unique. And there's just so many question marks right now, particularly around that first pick. I feel like in recent years, whether it was Joe Burrow or Myles Garrett or Trevor Lawrence, we seem to always know who that first guy is. This year with Jacksonville, all season long, really, there's been a lot of question marks. And you think back to this past year in college football, it seemed like all year long it was going to be Kayvon Thibodeau. And then the season ended and we started getting into the evaluation process, and it was Aiden Hutchinson. Right up until about 72 hours ago, it feels like, all of a sudden, Trayvon Walker, now the betting favorite to be that first pick. We know Jacksonville has a need at defensive end. The question is, which guy do they like the best? Everyone's waiting to see which quarterbacks or quarterback will go in the first round and where. So I think this first round for me in the hours leading up to it, I think the unknown, the intrigue really, is a major topic and a major theme.
And Jesse, as somebody who is a neophyte in draft talk, I find that amazing considering that these NFL GMs and player personnel people, it's all they do. It's not like, you know, they're out delivering the mail the other 11 months out of the year. Why now should they still be in doubt? What else could they possibly learn that they didn't already know?
Agreed. And I think so much of it is paralysis by analysis. I think in these months leading up to the draft, since the season is over, there's just so much more information that people can take in and can discuss and change their minds over. You know, the two big pillars in player evaluation is testing and tape. And so you look at a guy like Trayvon Walker, blew the combine out of the water, a guy that's 6'5", 271 pounds, should never be able to run a 4.5, 140. And that's incredible, but you have 36 games of film to take a look at to see how dominant he was. He only had 9.5 sacks in those 36 games. You would expect the number one pick overall would be much more dominant, play in, play out, like a guy like Aiden Hutchinson for Michigan, who had an extremely productive season and looked like the most dominant defensive player in this entire draft. Not a guy that flashed and then disappeared for 10 or 15 snaps at a time, but was involved in the play, seemingly play in, play out over the course of 60 minutes. I'm with you. You'd think that most of this evaluation would have been done months ago, and it would have been just dotting I's and crossing T's. But what's been so interesting about this, really has gone down to the wire, and more people are hearing how this first overall pick for Jacksonville may be changing due to the potential that Trayvon Walker out of Georgia is showing.
Yeah, and Jesse, as we say, we're talking to Jesse Palmer. We're talking about the Jacksonville Jaguars here. So, to have the number one pick 2 years in a row, it's tough to do. I mean, it's happened, but that takes some real work on the franchise's behalf. And we'll probably be back here a year from now talking about the same thing. But I do wonder though, what happened at the combine? I guess is what I'm asking. That really should change this. Yes, so he's fast. He does this well. He does that well. But still, and by the way, we don't know who Jacksonville's going to take. We just think we know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, at the end of the day, I think what we do need to remember and kind of take a step back in this whole process is that none of these kids getting drafted tonight or throughout the entirety of this draft are finished products. Trayvon Walker is 21 years old, and we do have to remember that. He's got a lot of football out ahead of him. And what we've seen now, certainly, he has the size, he has the physical tools, he has the measurables, things that you need to help you be successful at the next level. If you're Doug Peterson, the head coach of Jacksonville, or Balke, the GM, and you believe you can get this guy the coaching and set him up in a situation in Jacksonville across a guy like Josh Allen, who's an outstanding pass rusher on the other side of the field, this could be the guy. This could be a piece, and only a piece, because Paul, as you referenced, 2 years in a row they're picking first. They were 3-14 this year. Trayvon Walker's not going to be the answer. Trevor Lawrence last year, obviously, was not the answer alone. They're going to get Travis Etienne back on the field this year. He missed the entire season last year because of injury. So you're drafting the potential of a Trayvon Walker if, in fact, he ends up being that first pick. There's a lot to love about him too. His father was a Marine and instilled in him a lot of work ethic and discipline. He's self-motivated. You do not have to drag Trayvon Walker out of bed to get him to the gym at 5 a.m. He wants to be great. He's quiet, but when he gets on the field, he flips a switch. He's extremely competitive. He's won everywhere he's been. In high school, he played on a basketball team that won 71 straight games. And he's versatile. He can play defensive end, defensive tackle. He can spy the quarterback. There's a lot to love about Trayvon Walker. He absolutely should be a first-round pick. You can see why certain teams fall in love with guys. And that's another thing to remember. It doesn't need to be a consensus choice that 32 teams know this guy's the number one pick like we've seen with quarterbacks in years past. It takes one team to fall in love with you, and it's sounding more and more like Jacksonville is doing that. They're falling in love with Trayvon Walker.
Jesse, before you go, as a quarterback and you look at this class, which has come under some attack by the critics, which one stands out the most to you?
It's interesting. It's probably the worst draft class since 2013 when E.J. Manuel was the only first-round quarterback taken with the 16th pick. I think the most pro-ready is Kenny Pickett. I love his production, his accuracy throwing the ball downfield in Pitt's system. But I really love his film this past year and reading coverages and reading defense. Great film against Clemson, a tricky defense that confuses a lot of quarterbacks with their looks and their blitzes and how they change things up. Kenny Pickett was fantastic. The big question mark, though, with Kenny Pickett is, has he already reached his ceiling? He had an NFL quarterback coach throughout college in offensive coordinator Mark Whipple. He had an outstanding receiving group. His arm talent's a little bit above average. He's a better athlete, we give him credit for, but just how much better can he be versus a guy like Malik Willis, who's kind of the opposite. His physical ability is just completely off the charts, and he has these wow throws and these highlight-type plays that remind you of Michael Vick or Lamar Jackson. But he struggled in some of his biggest games the last 2 years at Liberty, and you wonder how much time it'll take him to pick up a more complex NFL offense. Again, it goes back to that intrigue question. If I had to guess, there's one or two quarterbacks that maybe go tonight. Being here in Vegas, putting my money on a guy, I'd say it's probably Malik Willis. But that's just another one of the big question marks I think we all have going into tonight.
Jesse Palmer, always great to talk to Jesse, part of the coverage later tonight. We'll head to the break here. We have a number of coaches that will be dropping by, from Luke Fickell to Marcus Freeman. We open the program with an extraordinary conversation with Dan Lanning, the defensive coordinator of the national champs. He's now the head coach in Oregon.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/network.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Back here in Las Vegas, hours before the draft. It's only 12:47 here. It's lunchtime, but in 4 hours, this town will be lit, even though it will be bright sunshine for the NFL draft. Daryl is up next. We try him again.
Hey, Paul.
What's up, Daryl?
You know, Jesse Palmer's not the smartest person in the world. I mean, after all, he did go to Florida, right? But I didn't hear him talking anything about Trayvon Walker back in February at all. As a matter of fact, I hate to bring this up. It's no dig on you, but I called you up in February. I said, Paul, who do you think is going to be the first Georgia player taken in the draft? And you said, of course, N'Kobe Dean. I said, uh-uh. I said, watch, I guarantee you Trayvon Walker will be the first Georgia player taken. Paul, I knew it. I mean, these ESPN people, they get paid to do this kind of stuff. You know what I mean? Paul, when in that interception in that national championship game, when Ringo stepped into the end zone, the guy behind him was Trayvon Walker. When the big play in that game, Trayvon Walker tracked down that wide receiver that Alabama got a first down, that guy that tracked him down 20 yards down the field, made a tackle, was Trayvon Walker. What's so crazy about that, Paul, is that both of Georgia's national championships, both of the best players on the field, their last names were Walker, Herschel and Trayvon. But I told you, hey, that dude is fast, man, and he is – and the reason he didn't get all the numbers, like Palmer's talking about his stats and all that, well, how many – if he played at Michigan, he would have, but he had to play with Carter, he had to play with Jordan Davis, he had to play with Wyatt. Adam Anderson was our leading sack leader, Paul, when he got kicked off the team. He's a linebacker, okay? He was leading the team in sacks at that point. But Trayvon Walker is without doubt the real deal. And I know he's going to be the first Georgia player taken. Might be the first in the draft. That would be amazing. But that guy is definitely the real deal. One more thing real quick. The Dan Lanning interview, epic. Absolutely epic. Great guy. I don't know if you heard me earlier, but Kirby Smart, you know, he never got the credit that Nick Saban gets. When Kirby came to Georgia, and you compare that staff to the staff that he had when he won the national championship, different offensive coordinator, different defensive coordinator, different offensive lineman. But, you know, just impressive. But Dan Lanning's going to do a great job at Oregon, but he ain't going to do a good enough job to beat us when the season starts. He forget that. But anyway, Paul, great interview. See you, bye.
Skywalker is up next. Skywalker, you are on the air. Go right ahead.
War Down Eagle and Freeway, Dr. Paul. Now that Legion is the reigning Feinbaum champion, I'd like to offer my consulting services to Jim so he can launch a Make Jim Great Again campaign. Paul, I know what Jim needs in order to sound less like Jimmy Swaggart and more like Jimmy J.J. Evans, Dynamite, and that's medicinal herb, Paul. So here today, live in Las Vegas, I'd like to announce first on the Paul Feinbaum Show that I am preparing to create a GoFundMe titled Buy Weed for Jim. Look, I grew up without it. I spent 22 years flying for the military without it. I understand his predicament. If he just partake a little bit, he'd be the greatest caller ever again. And in the meantime, if John from Louisville could donate some of his stash to Jim, that'd be great for everybody, because his calls are so dang boring. He needs to lay off the herb before he calls a little bit or a lot of bit. And it sounds like from Miss Pat's call the other day, she needs a little sent her way too. So War Damn Eagle and free the weed, Dr. Paul.
Kathy is up next. Kathy calling from Georgia. Hello, Kathy.
Hi, Paul. I just wanted to basically say that same thing that Daryl has said. I know a lot of Daryl's calls are off the wall, but he's correct on what he said. Also, before you leave Vegas, I hope your backdrop will be Showgirls, Wayne Newton, and don't what happens in Vegas stays in Vegas. I also want to say good luck to all the draftees. I hope they all succeed. And as far as Jaguars are concerned, they need to draft them all. They need the whole team. You have a good and safe trip, and have a good evening.
Thank you very much. JK is up next. Good afternoon, JK.
What's going on, Paul? Doing all right out there in hot Vegas?
We are doing great. Thank you.
Hey, Paul, you know the most important question for the NFL draft tonight, right?
Which is?
Will my Miami Hurricanes first-round record be broken? That's the most important question.
It's possible.
What school is going to break it?
Georgia.
Hey, Paul, you've been drinking too many of those free drinks out there.
Well, I have had a lot of those. And you know why?
Hey.
I needed them to get through this phone call.
Hey, Paul. You know I'm one of the best callers you got. We just differ on opinions about
that school. I have to offer this rebuttal to you. You are an emerging caller, but to put you in the same class as the greats of all time, I'm not so sure you are there yet. Maybe one day.
Hey,
you're going to have to do better than talk about the stupid Miami Hurricanes.
Hey, we gonna work on the Paul and all those little sly remarks you keep making about the hurricane. You just wait. Just wait. I'm telling you what's going to happen.
See, JK, that is your problem. If I could offer some caller-friendly Feinbaum caller advice, you're hung up on something that is of no interest to anyone, nor will it be. I mean, ultimately, I do think Cristobal will be successful, but you know we'll wait. I'd be more than happy to miss a year on Cristobal, but you're just not going to entertain anyone talking about Miami football.
Well, Paul, that's my job as a Miami Hurricane fan. I mean, you do a good job of promoting Alabama, so let me promote my Hurricane.
Well, you know, it's one thing to promote a school that has won 6 national championships since 2009. It's another one to promote a school that hasn't been relevant since 2003 or something.
Oh, there you go with the buy-in or the height. Hey,
well, no, it's not buy-in, JK. It's fact.
Hey, Paul.
I've already said Miami will be better, but they've been a disaster. You know it, and I know it. So quit trying to sell me.
I haven't denied.
Sell me some soiled rug of yours, okay?
Hey, Paul, I know we haven't won a championship in 21 years, but
you
can't be that.
You've been a disaster, JK. Let me sound like a caller to the Feinbaum Show. You guys have sucked, okay? And you're
going to continue to suck for a year or two.
So don't waste my time. Don't waste the audience's time on talking about a dead program. Call us when they have risen up, okay? Thank you, JK. Have a great rest of your life.